Okay, awesome. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm glad everyone has made it to 3 o'clock on Fosdem. My name is Wasim Musa. I'm the CTO of Open Cities Lab, a nonprofit organization working out of South Africa, predominantly in the public sector, and it's a civic tech organization generally working with cities around Africa and specifically in South Africa. So today I'll talk a little bit about open source approaches to a secure data exchange in South Africa's DPI. South Africa is going through a large digital transformation, as are many other African countries and South American countries as well. So I'm hoping to share our last 16 months of learning to build DPI and the journey so far. So firstly, Open Cities Lab's vision, a city where every resident, regardless of income, identity, or location, can access essential services they need with dignity and ease. And it's very important that the beginning part is a city, because generally this is where citizens interact with local government. And I think just two sessions ago, Nicholas was mentioning local government initiatives for open source, and DPI often cases is working at a very high level, generally at a national level. So to see service delivery impact through DPI is hard to track, but it's important. So what is DPI? It's a set of foundational digital systems that forms the backbone of modern societies. DPI enables secure and seamless interactions between people, businesses, and governments. This is from UNDP. How I like to think of it is very much like roads. So just how roads are physical infrastructure built to provide access to other infrastructure. So we use roads to go to hospitals, police stations, private sector, businesses, and so on. But in itself, it's also an infrastructure that needs to be built, secured, and transport various people throughout. On the next two slides, I've got a bit of personas about the current state of affairs in South Africa and how people access digital services. So we got the example here of Tandi, where, you know, maybe in EU it's a little bit different, but speaking to some people, I know there are some similarities. So incomplete information about where to access services. Oftentimes in South Africa, we have to visit physical locations to apply for certain things. Tandi must submit physical copies for verification. So, you know, just interacting with government needs physical copies of certain things. Oftentimes, they don't meet our needs in terms of services. And there's large amounts of delays, long queues, and limited payment options. So that's the current state of affairs. This was pre-digital transformation. It's been just over a year, and there's a lot of national initiatives kind of building alongside to help speed this along. South Africa in general is highly digitized from the IT perspective. So there are a lot of great systems built for government. However, as you'll see a little bit later in the talk, most of it is isolated in silos within the departments. And, you know, speaking and listening to Open Forum Summit yesterday and many of the other EU cases, it seems like it's not just the African problem. It's across the world. So there's three core components to DPI. You have digital identity, digital payments, and the backbone of all of it is the data exchange. These then power all your digital services. So a very simple example one could think about is renewing their passport. To renew your passport, you have to provide an ID, right? That check has to go against some interdepartmental verification. You know, in South Africa, we have Home Affairs, Department of Home Affairs that does the check, and that generally goes through the data exchange. Then some sort of payment is needed to then, you know, renew your passport, and you get the renewal process done. A key part here is not only digital IDs, but we were looking at verifiable credentials holistically. So we were thinking about how you would have a health card, a digital driving license, and not just digital ID. So that's just one example in this particular case. The focus of my talk is going to be on the exchange layer. It's something not seen to us generally as citizens. It's usually interdepartmental accessing of data and extremely important. In fact, I think the most critical layer for DPI. But firstly, what is the data exchange component trying to solve? In South African context, data currently exists in isolated silos, and this rarely hampers streamlined research, evidence-based policymaking, government operations, and ultimately at local government service delivery. So the data exchange is critical. In fact, I would say it's the most critical part of DPI. It connects governments, scales nationally, and enables services for millions. And still at conferences, I think even the last two or three times, I've got a few people just saying, oh, you're building a middleware or an API gateway. But I'm hoping to give a bit more context in this talk. So yeah, over the last 16 months, we did a bit of research in the first 6 months around the data exchanges done around the world and what technology we should use. And we even started piloting in the last 6 or 7 months with government agencies in South Africa. The challenge was set out for us back in 2023. So we were approached by the World Bank to do a feasibility study on what the data exchange for an African country would need, in this particular case, South Africa. This was done alongside the leading department, National Treasury in South Africa. And National Treasury is like, I don't know what's the ministry equivalent here, but they head of finance, they do our budgets, and they set the economic policy of the country. And what we needed to do was make use of integrated data source from various sources for different purposes. So exchange of data in real time, bulk data transfer is still, you know, one of the main ways the government agencies move data, so almost in large flat files that they're moving data. We even wanted to look at open data access and ultimately how all of that leads to evidence-based decision-making. What we did in the design journey, so the initial 4 months, we did a needs assessment, meeting the government departments, the major ones that were identified to share data and exchange data. We did a good practice report and research. I'll link to that at the end of the presentation where you'll be able to see it. A high-level architecture of what needs to be done to do a data exchange at scale for a country. And what we did, not only in terms of research, but we actually prototyped with software and government through use cases. It wasn't theoretical. We actually did some real work, and we used open source to do that. Okay, so initially it was called the Integrated Data Lake Project, and we were given the brief around a data lake. It was a good starting point. So what is a data lake? Just an easy technical solution for structured, unstructured, and even semi-structured data. Just a place to move a lot of data into, which generally, to some extent, made a bit of sense for a starting point. However, we'll soon see it's very limited, and it wasn't effective in this particular exchange for an entire country. So the data lake started with three initial architectures. We were looking at centralized, federated, and hybrid or federated. Centralized system, we move all the data into similar to where Treasury is storing the data and do a lot of the research querying of the data in one place. This is technically challenging. There's a lot of data, you know, hundreds of terabytes of data actually being moved in national government. And not only would it be technically challenging, even from a mandate and policy perspective, you know, are they able to actually hold that data and house it? And in South Africa, we have the Personal Protection Act for identity called POPI, and that would kind of break some of the rules around that, especially with like your revenue service sharing data with certain other services. You know, it's quite an extensive legal landscape to navigate from a data exchange. Then we looked at federated. So can we put a data lake solution or a data exchange solution in each department? And this made a lot of sense because kind of that's how our government operates, where departments have various IT solutions and various data maturity. So there, some of our systems, like for revenue, is actually quite advanced. And then there are other departments which are much further behind in terms of IT and infrastructure. So with the mixture of both, on the good end, really good high-quality systems ready for integration, and on the other end, almost nothing available, undercapacitated, we said a hybrid approach is more likely needed in the short term, with a federated approach in the long term. So you would need a central system where those departments or ministries that didn't have capacity can work with and operate in, and then those that can federate off the bat, have the IT systems, can start by federation. So the advantages of the federated and hybrid model: enhanced data control, so departments still maintain ownership of all their data, it's only access to the data, improved scalability, no single source of failure as well. Some of the challenges, and something we're still grappling with to date, is even in federated, it's hard to ensure all departments adhere to a certain standard of exchanging data. So it is a tough challenge, and there are some solutions going around, but it's still there. Also, the technical complexities, you're dealing with different ministries, different departments with various maturities, and each one coming in with different levels of understanding of what data sharing actually means, data exchange. And it's almost like a quid pro quo, like you give me some data, I'll maybe give you some if it's valuable to me. So not only from a mandate perspective, but you have to actually kind of motivate why you'd want access to the data, even from a department sharing data with another department's perspective. We then looked at case studies. So we said, okay, as a technical solution, the data lake makes a lot of sense, but it's not encompassing and not broad enough. So we looked at a number of other countries that already implemented data exchanges, and because we've been working in the open source space for the last decade, we were looking for open source solutions. Very high on the list came Rwanda's Irembo platform, India's Stack, Brazil and UK. Brazil and UK was more around digitizing